Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Fill the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the word says that I am.
I am who the word says that I am.
I do what the word says to do.
I do what the word says to do.
And I have what the word says that I have.
I have what the word says that I have.
I choose to open my heart.
I choose to open my heart.
To receive everything the Lord has for me today.
To receive everything the Lord has for me today.
Today is part 8, Hearing the Voice of God. Our key scripture has been John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Last week, we talked about types and shadows. We shared Colossians 2:16 and 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you with questions of food and drink, with regard to festival or new moon or Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We talked about the fact that everywhere we look in creation, we can see God communicating with us, and that we have to personalize the communication and realize that He's communicating directly to us whenever we receive something, whenever we notice something, whenever we have an aha moment and we see God's fingerprints, His handiwork at work in creation. That is a particular moment that the Spirit of God is giving you the ability to see something and see Him in something. So anytime you notice something, it's a personal communication from God to you, enlightening your life, enlightening your eyes, and helping you see Him throughout all of His creation. God created us to be highly visual, even in our communication. That's one of the reasons why when we look around at creation, we see God communicating with us from the sky, the light versus dark, from the plants that grow, from things that go on. We see God woven in and out of His creation to communicate to us, for one, that He is God, that there is a God, that He is God, and for two, that He wants to have a personal relationship with us. And there's a longing in each and every person's heart to know their Creator, to become one with God again. From when they were cut off. We were born cut off from God, but with an inner desire, knowing that there is more, knowing that God wants more for our lives, and that we are created for more than what we're walking in until we find God and find life and love through our Creator. So when it comes to communication, according to Albert Mehrabian, he's an expert in the field of body language and communication. The breakdown of communication based on his study is 7% verbal, words only, 38% vocal, such as our tone of voice, inflection, and other sounds, and 55% nonverbal, such as facial expressions, gestures, postures, etc. Now, obviously, that's talking about face-to-face communication, and when it's most pronounced is when someone is saying one thing, but their body language is saying something else. Have you ever looked at someone and said, hey, how you doing? And they go, oh, I'm fine. And you think, yeah, they're not fine. You can see it in their body language. You can hear it in their voice inflection. Or when someone smiles and tries to act nice, but you can tell they're really not being very friendly. What is that? That is body language and nonverbal communication taking precedence over what someone's saying with their mouth. So in communication, approximately 93% of communication is nonverbal, while 7% is verbal. What does that have to do with hearing the voice of God? It has to do with what we talked about a number of weeks ago, the fact that communication is so much more than just hearing a voice. The reality is, if I heard the same words that God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, I wouldn't understand them because I don't understand the language. that God was speaking to Moses in. God didn't speak to Moses in English. So it wouldn't have helped me to hear the audible voice anyway. It wouldn't have made any sense to me. Taking that into context, it's much more important when we talk about hearing the voice of God that we are receiving communication from God in a way that we can understand it, that we can comprehend what God is actually saying. It's much more important than hearing verbal, audible words is knowing what God's communicating to us. Today, we're going to be talking about pictures, numbers, and visions, different ways that God communicates to us through partly nonverbal communication. And in a lot of these illustrations, what we're going to see is God, first of all, highlights something or points something out or asks a question about a picture or something that we're seeing, but then he communicates to us what the meaning is. So a lot of times we're notice something or have something highlighted to us. And one of the cool things with that is Proverbs tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. God doesn't conceal things, most things from us to a point that we cannot receive the answer. A lot of times, I kind of see it as almost an Easter egg hunt or something fun where God is kind of putting something out there that he wants us to go put some effort into receiving so that we can get the joy of receiving it. When we go to the scripture and we spend time in the scripture, when a new revelation comes to light for us, it brings joy to me when I see something for the first time in scripture. When God reveals himself to me in a new way, there's great joy that comes with that. Like, wow, God. Now, could he have given it to me before? Possibly. But God delights in us seeking him and seeking it out. And there's an exploring process. One of the beautiful things about being married is I get to know Megan at different levels. And throughout our 18 plus years of marriage, we've gotten to know each other much, much better than we did before we got married. What is it? That's us exploring and getting to know each other, learning what each other likes, learning what the things are that are enjoyable for each other and stuff. That's a really fun experience. And we get that same experience in our relationship with the Lord when we choose to press in and spend time getting to know God. And when God reveals something to us, or we have this kind of inkling or an idea that there's a meaning in something, when we notice something, our goal should be to ask God, God, what are you trying to communicate to me through that? When you're going throughout your day and you notice something or something stands out to you, in whatever it is, and a lot of times he's going to talk to us about things that matter to us because he's perfect at communicating to us in the language that we understand. So be aware when you're going about your day and you have little things pop up, ask God, God, what does that mean? And then take some time to meditate on it and pray about it and ask the Lord for answers and be looking for the answer so that when it comes to you, you can receive it. Because God will reveal things to us in the right time if we ask and if we're patient and if we choose to seek out the answers. One of the oldest forms of communication known to mankind is through pictures. Before there was written language, before there was any written language that's known, people communicated through pictures. If they weren't able to communicate in person, they learned to communicate first through pictures. They had cave paintings. What did they do? They went in and they painted on the inside of caves. Well, they may have painted other places as well, but when it's an inside of a cave, it's been preserved so that we can see that. I don't know that they could have painted on rocks outside and other things, and we just wouldn't see that anymore, but there was pictures that they were able to communicate by, so they were able to leave a mark for someone else to have an understanding, maybe of their daily life, maybe of the hunting expeditions they went on, maybe little stories, but they had paintings that communicated things to others that came along. Last week, I talked about and briefly mentioned the fact that I've seen myself preaching the gospel for many years. It's a picture that God put in my heart that he's brought up at various times in my life where I've seen myself preaching. A lot of times, God put pictures on the inside of us of directions that he's leading us. And one of the things you'll notice if it's a direction where God's leading you, typically it's a picture that will come back multiple different times. It's something that lines up with the word of God, because God never leads us outside of his written word, but it will line up with truth in the word, and it will be a picture that he'll show us so that we can start moving in that direction. Pictures are very powerful, because a picture does convey that, there's a saying, it's not a scripture, but it's a saying that a picture is worth a thousand words. And there is a lot that you can communicate to someone in a picture, especially when it's a picture that God's given us, because many times it's not just a static picture, but it's actually more like a vision, where it's almost a picture slash video in your head of you seeing yourself doing something or seeing something go on. Mm-hmm. That can be an inspired picture by the Holy Spirit to help communicate something to you. What does the word say about pictures? Jeremiah 1, verses 11 through 14 from the ESV. Verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The ESV has a little footnote there that says almond sounds like the Hebrew word for watching. So what did God do? God said, what do you see? He said, I see an almond branch. And the Lord said, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. So God took a natural picture and turned it into watching. So almond sounds like watching. So that made sense to Jeremiah. He's like, oh, okay. Now, did Jeremiah actually see an almond branch in the natural? Was he outside walking through a field and there's an almond tree and he sees an almond branch? Quite possibly. It also could have been that he saw an almond branch in a vision from the Lord, in a picture in his mind that God gave him in his mind, where he saw it in his mind's eye. And the Lord said, what do you see? He said, I see an almond branch. So we don't know for sure on this, but I know the Lord can speak to us both ways. Mm-hmm. So being aware of whether or not it's a picture or an actual thing in the natural, where he's highlighting something in the natural world that we're going through, and then communicating something to us about that. Mm-hmm. Verse 13 says, the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. Mm-hmm. Verse 14, then the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall rise and let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. And it goes on with the Lord speaking what would happen. And you can find that full story in Jeremiah chapter 1. So again, did he actually see a physical boiling pot sitting there? Mm-hmm. Or did he see it in his mind's eye? I don't know. God speaks to us both ways. So be aware that either way that God comes and communicates to you are biblical ways for God speaking to his people. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet where God spoke to him in the Old Testament. But remember, in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, God, speaking of John the Baptist, said that he was the greatest of all the prophets, but those who are least in the kingdom of heaven are greater. So us having the Spirit of God residing on the inside of us gives each and every born-again believer who has received the Lord as Lord of their life and has asked the Holy Spirit to come reside on the inside of them, every single born-again believer has the ability to hear God communicating to us, as we would see in Jeremiah here. Going to another Old Testament prophet, Amos. Amos chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. The Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I'm setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuary of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So he's asking Amos again, what do you see? He says, I see a plumb line. Did he see a plumb line in the natural? A plumb line is a weight on the bottom of a string that they would hold up, and the weight on the bottom would kind of sway back and forth, and when it stopped swinging, it would let you know what the straight line was between that point and the point that it was connected to. So when you build, let's say, a brick wall or a stone wall, you would build it along the plumb line to make sure that you built it in a straight line. Sometimes God speaks to us by highlighting something that we're seeing in the natural. Back in July, we were on a trip to Ohio. We were all driving in the car as a family. As we're driving, I sensed in my spirit the Lord saying, hey, pray in the spirit. So we started praying in the spirit. We stopped our conversation, chose just pray in the spirit for a little bit. So we're praying for a few minutes in the spirit. And as we're praying, I started noticing dead trees along the highway. So every so often we're driving through a rural road and I saw this one, there was a fence and there was this lone dead tree with no leaves on it. The leaves were still on because this is in July. So it was before the time where the leaves would be gone. I saw a lone tree standing with no leaves on it and it caught my attention. I drove a little bit longer and was praying in the spirit and I saw another dead tree and it caught my attention. So I paused the music and said to Megan, you know, as I'm praying, I'm seeing these dead trees and they're really getting highlighted to me. I don't understand what it means, but let's pray because I believe there's some significance to it. So we are praying in the spirit because we didn't really know what to be praying. We're just asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what does it mean? And I wasn't real sure and I wasn't getting a clear answer from the Lord other than we prayed and noticed the trees. And we were praying in the spirit in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So it was my spirit praying, and I was releasing the words into the atmosphere as we are praying in tongues. Romans 8:26-27 says, likewise, the spirit helps us in our weakness. For when we do not know what to pray as we ought, the spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we prayed in the Spirit for, 10 minutes or so, and all of a sudden just felt peace. I'm like, okay, you know, I think we're good. I'm not sure what that was. I just kind of tucked it away and thought, you know, Lord, if you need to communicate something else to us about the trees, whatever, tucked it away, moved on. We got to my brother-in-law and sister's house, and we are visiting. And partway through our visit, a couple of the kids were like, hey, we want to go outside. So they went outside to get a ball that the dog had been playing with that got blown away, like a beach ball, I think it was.
Yeah, it was a beach ball.
They went outside and got a beach ball, and they were playing with the beach ball. And we were sitting, the adults were sitting, and the older children were sitting in the living room having conversation. And we heard this loud crashing noise. We're like, what was that? A few minutes later, Luke, my youngest, he's 8, came running into the house a few moments later with eyes the size of saucers. And he's going, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, the tree, Kevin, come look. We go outside and a dead tree had fallen. He said he was standing out there trying to get the ball that was on the edge of the woods, and heard a crash and looked up and saw a tree falling towards him. And he started running and the tree moved away and fell next to him as he ran away from the tree that came crashing down into the yard right where he had been standing moments before. Now, what was that? As soon as he came inside and told us a story, we walked outside and saw that. I was like, thank you, Lord. That's what happened in the car where we were driving and the Lord put it on my spirit to be praying. And we were praying in tongues in an unknown language, not knowing what we were praying, but God started highlighting the dead trees. I started seeing the dead trees and noticing them. What was that? That was God letting me know what I was praying about without fully understanding the depth of it. Yeah. Now, God knows our future. Mm-hmm. It is important that when we have a prompting from the Holy Spirit to pray, that we pray because we never know what we could be praying and interceding for. It might be for our future. It might be for someone else. It might be someone across the world. We don't know. Yeah. But what we know is that God is faithful and He will prompt us at the right time to pray when we're in tune with His Spirit. And in this case, it was comforting to me knowing that God knows the future and He was able to prompt me to pray for a situation that hadn't yet happened but was going to happen. Now, could that outcome have been a lot worse? Yeah, I believe it could have been. It's really dangerous when a dead tree is falling towards someone. But I believe that the Holy Spirit had me praying and interceding on behalf of my son's safety in that situation before the event ever happened. So we've got to be aware when God's highlighting things around us, when we're seeing pictures or we see things in our mind's eye, when God brings a vision to us or a picture to us. In the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2, and this is right after Habakkuk, who's another prophet, was talking and asking God some things. He was praying and asking God questions. But what's interesting, and this is a great lesson for all of us, when we have God highlighting stuff to us and we're asking Him a question to reveal to us what He meant by it, remember it, write it down, and come back to it. Because sometimes God doesn't answer immediately. Sometimes there's a waiting period between us asking the question and God giving us the answer. And a lot of times that's for our benefit because we're not ready to receive the answer just yet, or God wants to reveal more to us, but He'll highlight it to us early enough that we can get the full joy when He does highlight the reason or the answer to us. So Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. Habakkuk's waiting for the response from the questions he asked God. We see here in verse 1, I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what He will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. So he's prayed, and now he's watching and waiting for God to answer him. Verse 2, the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. That word vision is Strong's H2377. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means a sight mentally, such as a dream, revelation, or oracle, a vision. So God gave him a sight mentally. So in this case, we know that that vision was not a natural vision. It was a vision that he saw mentally in his head. God will speak to us through pictures and visions on the inside, again, for things for the future. Sometimes when we ask God to reveal something to us, He'll reveal it with a vision or a picture. In this case, he asked God some questions and God revealed it in a vision. Now, God also speaks to us through numbers. Back on October 30th, last month, just about a month ago, almost exactly a month ago now, I felt an urge to get away with the Lord on a trip. So it wasn't planned, but that day I had a strong desire to get away for a few nights. The weather was beautiful. I initially was thinking I'd go on a short motorcycle, maybe overnight trip or a two-day trip. So I came to Meg and said, hey, I've been feeling a stirring in my spirit and I feel like I'd like to get away for the night. What do you think about that? And she's like, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Why don't you go on a little getaway? So as I prayed about it throughout the day, I thought, you know, I don't think I want to take my motorcycle out on a trip because I'd like to go on a little bit longer trip. As I was praying and asking the Lord where I should go, I felt the Lord stirring in me to go to the Bible Museum, which is something I've had on my list of wanting to do it for a long time. So I looked it up and saw that it was going to be a multiple day trip and asked Megan what she thought about it. And she was all in favor of me going on the trip, told me it would be a great opportunity. I should do it. So then we asked and I said, you know, it's kind of getting later in the day. Maybe I'll just leave tomorrow morning. She's like, you know, why don't you just go tonight so you get past Chicago traffic and just pick up a hotel. It doesn't have to be, you know, super far away, but just drive a little bit tonight so it's easier for you to get out of here tomorrow morning and, you know, start your trip. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I will leave. So I chose to leave on Wednesday, October 30th for my trip. I booked a hotel, didn't even leave that evening till I think it was 8 or 8:30 at night before I finally left. So headed out to a Hyatt Place hotel. Got there, got checked in. When I went up to my room, I noticed that I was in room 307. Now, I've been in all kinds of different hotel rooms and different room numbers, and sometimes I feel like they're significant. Sometimes I don't think anything of it. In this particular case, when I walked up to my room, the Lord highlighted the room number to me. So much so that the next morning before I checked out, I took a selfie with me in front of the room number. I don't usually do that. But in this case, it was highlighted to me 307. I thought, well, that's interesting. So I had a wonderful stay, had a great breakfast the next morning, got on the road to continue my trip to the Bible Museum, and had a wonderful day that day. Actually, I had a chance to stop in and visit my parents. It was a wonderful day. Went the next day to stay at a hotel again and checked into my hotel, which this time was a Staybridge Suites, I believe. Walked up to my room, and I'm in room 307. And I went, huh, okay, now I'm like, okay, Lord, you've highlighted it to me twice now. I'm in the same room number twice, different hotel chains. All right, Lord, are you trying to communicate something to me with this? What does it mean? Mm-hmm. Took a picture of myself with the room number again. Thought, all right, and started praying, asking the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? Didn't hear anything. So what do we do in that case? We move on, but we stay attentive. Mm-hmm. And remember to kind of tuck it away as something that we're going to ask the Lord about again and go on and think, Lord, what does this mean? So I had a wonderful trip, went to the Bible Museum, and it was an amazing experience. And my overall sense on that trip, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, was one of realizing how very loved I am. And I just, for one, felt small in the sense of realizing how vast, for thousands of years, God has been working to communicate his love to humanity, to people, through his word, through the Bible, through all different people, all throughout the centuries, all over the world, communicating his story of love. And in that sense, I felt small, realizing how big God is and how big of a thing that I'm a part of. But on the other side, I felt so incredibly loved to know that I have the intimate, amazing relationship with God that I have, where he cares specifically about me and communicates to me and is talking to me and communicating with me throughout my day and bringing me on this amazing journey with him of learning who I am in Christ and how amazing God is. And knowing that, feeling so incredibly loved and important in the scope of realizing how absolutely huge God is. So it's a really special trip. There's a lot more that God spoke to me through that trip that was just confirming his love for me and how much he loves people. Not just me, but how much he loves each and every person. And how he's been going to extreme measures to communicate with people how important they are to him and how much he loves each one of us. So that was my trip. Had an amazing time in Washington. I get back to the hotel and I'm asking the Lord again, okay, Lord, what's the room number? I walked into the room that night and thought again, what is this room number, Lord? And I stayed a couple nights at the same hotel. So I stayed in that same room. And every time I went in and out, I was like, okay, Lord, what's the room number? Didn't hear anything. So the next morning I check out, I had an amazing trip. I'm heading back home now. And I began praying and asking the Lord once again, Lord, what was it? And now the Lord just started sharing with me. So after I had the experience of that weekend of really having solidified how loved I am, the Lord began talking to me and he told me, he said, the room number was a confirmation of the fact that I had completed the healing journey that he began at that night that I stayed at Trump Tower, May 25th, 2019. On that journey I talked about back in part four of this teaching series, back at the beginning of October, I shared the story of God leading me on a trip and ending up in Trump Tower and God speaking to me as I overlooked the magnificent mile as I overlooked the river and the clock tower and saw all the people out there. And God shared with me where the people is what mattered to him. That each and every person is where the value is at, and that that's what's valuable to God is the people. That all the other stuff passes away, but the people are eternal, and his love for the people is eternal. And he asked me to help him gather his wealth, gather his people. So that began a journey. And on that trip, I had that American Gold Eagle, that gold coin that God had told me to start carrying around. I carried that with me on that trip. And God had told me with that coin that I needed to learn to mine the gold within. So he told me to mine the gold within. So that was five some years ago. Now on this trip, as I'm driving home from the trip, it was Sunday, November 3rd, that I was driving home from the trip. And the Lord was just downloading this to me and reminding me. He said, you have completed the healing. Three is a complete number in the word. And so is seven. Three is lesser degree than seven, but they're both complete, perfect numbers. He said, this is a confirmation that you have completed the journey that I wanted you to go on to learn how to mine the gold within. And you now understand that the gold within you is my love, that your value, that your worth is because of what I've placed in you, because of my love for you, because I created you with intrinsic value and worth. And understanding that in there, realizing that it can never be taken away, that my value and my worth is something that can only grow as I allow the love of God to radiate out of my life to others and pass on that knowledge of how valuable each and every person is. So he shared with me there was a completion of that, and that's why he had highlighted the numbers 307 to me multiple times. Back at the beginning of October, when I was studying for my teaching to talk about the Trump Tower, and the night before I stayed at the Trump Tower, I had stayed at the Levick Tower. And God had highlighted to me another aspect of the Levick Tower that was really special. And that was when I was looking into it, I realized that the Levick Tower is 555 feet tall. That was pretty cool to me because over this past 5 years, the Lord has shared with me that 525, the date when I was in the Trump Tower, is a significant number for me because five is a number of God's grace. And 25 represents grace upon grace. So it was grace upon grace upon grace was that number, that 525. The Levick Tower being 555 feet tall was something I tucked away as just a really neat thing when I was looking into the Levick Tower to share about it a couple of months ago now. Well, as I'm driving home on November 3rd from my trip to the Bible Museum, when God is now telling me what that 307 meant, he asked me, he said, with the gold coin that you've been carrying around for all these years, he said, you no longer need to carry that gold coin around because you now understand that the real gold is within you. It is my love on the inside of you. That's the real value. That's the real treasure. And he said, what has the price of gold done over these years? And I said, well, it's gone up. He said, why don't you look into it? So I pulled out my phone and looked, and sure enough, the price of gold had doubled between the time I started carrying the coin and when he told me that I had completed it. Furthermore, he asked me something else. He said, when did you leave on this completion trip? I said, Wednesday. He said, what day was that? I said, well, that was October 30th. God said, yeah, look at the price of gold October 30th. So I looked it up. The price of gold on October 30th, 2024, set the all-time high value for what gold has ever been. Even today, a month later, it still hasn't surpassed. It's actually dropped down a little bit. But the day that God sent me on that journey, gold peaked out at the highest value that it's been to date. And all the time that gold's been tracked, it was worth the very most on October 30th, 2024. Now, furthermore, he said, what was October 30th? And I said, well, it was the day I left. Now, again, it wasn't a planned trip. It was that morning I woke up and had a strong inkling to go, a strong desire from the Lord to go. And I went that day. Mm-hmm. What was October 30th, he asked. I'm like, Lord, I don't know. Tell me, what was October 30th? He said, when did this journey start? Mm-hmm. I said, back at Trump Tower. He said, okay, calculate the time between the two. Mm-hmm. Well, May 25th, 2019 to October 30th, 2024 is exactly 5 years, 5 months, and 5 days. 555. So, exactly 5 years, 5 months, and 5 days from the beginning of the trip, God told me it was complete. Now, he didn't tell me this till I was coming home from that trip, and he began downloading the things to me that I already had learned on that trip and understanding who I am and my call to help people understand that they are loved and infinitely more valuable than they know. Mm-hmm. People are going through this world hurting and in pain, mm-hmm. not understanding how loved they are by a Heavenly Father, by their Heavenly Father, mm-hmm. how much God desires a relationship with each one of us. Mm-hmm. Do I believe that I'm loved to the point that God could move the entire price of the gold market just to help communicate it to me? Yeah, you know why? He sent his son for me. Mm-hmm. If he'll send his son to die for me, he'll communicate in whatever way he needs to how loved I am, but not just because it's about me. He'll do that for everyone. He'll love every, help communicate to each one of us his absolute love. Mm-hmm. Could someone chalk up to coincidence? Of course. But you know what? I don't count it as coincidence mm-hmm. because I'm loved by God. Mm-hmm. And I'm loved by God that much. Mm-hmm. 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Okay. It's one thing to know that you're loved. Oh yeah, I know. I have this intellectual knowledge that I'm loved by God because the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
That's a song.
That is a song. It's another thing to get to a place where you know and believe the love that God has for us. Amen. Believing is a choice, not believing is a choice. My encouragement to each of you is begin asking the Lord to reveal to you how loved you are by him. He loves us infinitely more than we can express. When it comes to hearing the voice of God, why do we want to hear his voice? We want to hear his voice so we can walk in relationship with him. It's not about an arbitrary, oh, I want to hear God's voice because I want to hear his. No, we want to hear his voice because we want to live our lives pleasing to him. When we understand how loved we are and allow him to communicate to us and allow everything to be done out of a motivation of love. And it's not a motivation of our love for him. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. We have to first of all understand his depth of love for us before we can properly communicate his love to others. When we communicate his love to others out of a depth of understanding of how valuable we are to God, that's when it begins to have an impact on others. So my encouragement to you, be asking the Lord to reveal to you how loved you are. Mm-hmm. What he does for one person, he'll do for another. He loves each of you infinitely more than you could ask, think, or imagine. He loves you more than we can possibly comprehend. But we should spend our life trying to fully comprehend it by walking in relationship with him, walking in obedience to his word, walking in relationship with him, and focusing on getting to know him. There's so many things that are screaming for our attention these days. God is amazing. And he desires an intimate, personal relationship with each of us. So ask him to take your relationship to the new level, to another level, to the next level, and allow him to speak to you through pictures, visions, numbers, however he can get through to you. Realize he is working to communicate with you every single day. Will you be aware of it? Will you open your eyes and open your heart to receive the love, to receive from him, and to receive what he wants to deposit on the inside of you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this word today. Thank you for each and every person listening to this message. Father, I ask you to reveal your love in a new way to each and every person. I thank you, Lord, that we hear your voice, that you give us pictures and visions, and that you help us recognize how you are communicating with us throughout the day. Help us tune in to receive that communication from you. I thank you for the purposes that you have for each one of us. I thank you, Father, that we walk according to those purposes. We walk in your ways and we draw closer to you as we spend time studying you and studying your word so that we can know you. I thank you, Father, that eternal life is knowing you and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Thank you for sending your son to die for our sins so we can live through Jesus and live for you. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com. Our mission is to know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. So what is an elite life? An elite life is a life being transformed by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in love. As we know, believe, and obey God's word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors for Christ. Living an elite life as believers is not about superiority. It's about embracing the life we were created to live, loving and obeying God, and loving and serving others. The word elite has multiple meanings, but one of those meanings is the best or most select. We believe living an elite life is the very best life anyone can live, because there is no true life apart from Christ. Jesus said in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So there is no true life apart from Christ. One of the other meanings of elite is of high birth. There is no higher birth than being born again or born from above as a child of the Most High God. John 3:5-8, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, but spirit is born of spirit. Do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So let me ask you, are you living an elite life? Do you remember the time, the place, or the surrounding circumstances when you asked Jesus Christ to personally become your Lord and Savior? If you can't answer that with 100% certainty, I want to invite you to mark today as the day you know for sure that you've asked Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16-18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world,
but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. 1 Corinthians 15:3-6. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Romans 10:9-13, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. It is just as a scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and gives richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. If you'd like to begin living an elite life today, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, but feel free to say it differently. The important thing is that it's got to come from your heart. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you and I'm in need of your grace. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me, for forgiving me, and for giving me eternal life. I receive your love and gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made Jesus Christ your Lord today, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to your elite life. Mark today's date as a reminder of the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life. We would love to celebrate with you. Please reach out to us at EliteLifeMinistries.com and let us know that you gave your life to Jesus. We have free resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that has listened to this message. For those that just gave their life over to you, Father, I know the word tells us that the angels are rejoicing at this moment. Father, we thank you. We rejoice along with the angels and thank God for a new life being added to your family. Lord, I also pray for anyone that listened to this message but didn't make that decision today. Maybe they're still unsure. Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to them and draw them to you. Father, I ask you to give them another chance to receive your salvation. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.